Are you ready for your next winter adventure? Whether it's a stylish all-wheel drive SUV to get the family where they need to go, or an innovative EV to make the switch to electric, ChevyDriveChicago.com has you covered. With Equinox, Traverse, Silverado, Trax, and Trailblazer, you're sure to find the perfect Chevy to match your needs and lifestyle. But finding the right car is only part of the story. Winter weather is here, and your vehicle needs to be ready for anything. From oil changes and tire rotations to unexpected repairs, your local Chevy dealer is here to help. Their team of experts knows your vehicle, and they will make sure your car is safe, reliable, and ready to handle whatever the season brings. So why wait? Head to ChevyDriveChicago.com today to find your local dealer, shop the latest vehicles, and schedule your service appointment. ChevyDriveChicago.com. That's ChevyDriveChicago.com.
Hi, this is Dave Musial, owner of Four Seasons Heating, Air Conditioning, Plumbing, and Electric. With our biggest sale ever, furnaces from $39 a month, furnace and air conditioning combos from $59 a month, plus 72 months interest-free financing and up to a $4,000 system rebate. Four Seasons guaranteed to beat any competitor's price by up to $1,000 guaranteed. So call today for your free in-home estimate and same-day installation.
For all the right reasons, call 864-SEASONS.
Hey, I'm Ben Stiller.
I'm Adam Scott.
And we make a TV show called Severance. On January 17th, Severance is back for season 2 on Apple TV+, and we can't wait for you guys to see it.
And before the premiere, Ben and I are going to be binging season 1 and putting out daily recap podcasts.
Yep. Each weekday beginning January 7th, we'll be dropping an episode featuring exclusive behind-the-scenes tidbits and brilliant insights from our cast and crew and us.
Patricia Arquette, Britt Lauer, Zach Cherry, John Turturro, the list goes on.
All your favorite Lumen employees, their friends, families, enemies, in your feed every single weekday.
And here's the best part. After that, we're going to keep going. Tune in weekly as we recap every episode of season 2. The podcast drops on the same day the episode comes out.
It's the Severance Podcast with Ben and Adam.
On Apple Podcasts, the Odyssey app, or wherever you get your podcasts.
I got some information that I have to share with you because it is something that you need to know. It is something that shocked me that I said, oh, my God, I got to get somebody on the radio to talk about this first thing. So I was at Flavor Cafe having lunch with Selena Koster. She is the assistant director of communications for the Senate DFL. And she said, did you know about the Debt Fairness Act? And I said, girl, I don't know what you're talking about. What is that? And she said, it's all about how, medical debt is handled in the state of Minnesota with regard to credit bureaus. And I had just read a story where, you know, a man lost so much and couldn't get this, that, or the other because he had a $6,000 credit debt after his wife died of cancer. And it was just the most heartbreaking thing that I've ever seen. And she said, well, you know what? We have something in Minnesota. You need to talk about it on your radio show. I was like, well, who can I talk about it? Who's in charge of it? She was like, Senator Liz Bolden. I said, you mean my girl Liz, the assistant majority leader? Because let me tell you about Liz Bolden, okay? When we had Black Entrepreneurs Day at the Capitol, we had a van of business owners from Rochester to come to the Twin Cities for the event back in February. And I called Liz and I said, listen, you got a lot of people coming from Rochester. Will you meet with them and talk to them about some of their concerns as Black owned businesses? And she was like, oh, sure, no problem. And, you know, I'm telling y'all, everybody talked to me about meeting with their representative or their senator or the lieutenant governor. And over and over again, the business owners from Rochester could not heap more praise on Senator Bolden about how she listened, about how she gave them her undivided attention, how they didn't feel rushed. And Senator Bolden, I don't know if I ever circle back to thank you. Please accept my apologies, but I just appreciate you so much being a part of Black Entrepreneurs Day at the Capitol.
Well, thank you so much. No need for an apology. I enjoyed that so much. We had fantastic conversations on that day, and, you know, those conversations have continued. And so it was a great experience, and I look forward to doing that again next year.
And that's the thing that everybody was telling me is that I got to tell my volunteers, bye, y'all. Thank you, ladies, so much. The ladies from Head Start came and volunteered today at the lock giveaway, and I didn't have to do anything except show up and start hugging and kissing on families because they took care of me. So I had to say bye to the ladies. They're all leaving and cleaning up. But, you know, that's the thing, Senator Liz, is that, you know, they came to the event, but y'all have continued the discussion, continued the dialogue, continued the engagement. How important is that with regard to the overall, success of these people's businesses?
Oh, it's incredibly important. And, you know, I want to do my part to build that relationship and to see, you know, what I can do to be sure that they can thrive and be successful in our community. Our community needs them and we are better off for it. And so it really is a partnership. And, you know, I'm excited for that to continue.
Now, we have to talk about this Debt Fairness Act. I'm going to take a quick commercial break. When we come back, we're going to jump right into this, Senator Liz, because there are so many people out there who have hospital debt and they are afraid to death that this is going to go on their credit. You have done something to take care of that here in the state of Minnesota. We're going to tell you what that is when we come back. I am talking to State Senator Liz Bolden right here on the John Schuster Caldwell Banker Hotline. It is 1216. It is WCCO Radio. It is the Shaletta Show. And it is time for us to learn about the Minnesota Debt Fairness Act. Now, Senator Liz, what is this all about?
So I am thrilled to chat with you about this. This is some of the work I am most proud of this past session because of the impact it will have for people. So it's a package bill. It does a number of things. And I want to note that I worked on it in partnership with the Attorney General's office. So shout out to Keith Ellison and his team, who are amazing, as well as my partner, Liz Ryer, in the House. So it does a number of things. The first thing I'll say is it does not allow healthcare entities to deny care for people simply because they owe them a debt. Which some people say, gosh, I can't believe that was a thing. It absolutely was. And so, we heard heartbreaking stories from people across the state who were denied care because they owed a debt. And so that won't happen anymore. It bans the practice of automatic transfer of medical debt from one spouse to another. So Minnesota was one of the very few states who did this, and medical debt was the only debt we treated that way, that you were automatically responsible for your spouse's medical debt. That is no longer. It does not allow medical debt to be reported to credit bureaus, so medical debt will not affect your credit score, which is important because we know that medical debt is not a indicator of creditworthiness. You know, any one of us could be a diagnosis or an accident or an illness away from having a boatload of medical debt by no choice of our own. And so those are three things that it does. It does a number of other things, but, you know, medical debt is such a huge issue for so many people. If people aren't personally affected by medical debt, I guarantee they know somebody who is. It has such a profound impact on people's lives. And I see this, my work outside the legislature is in healthcare. I work as a registered nurse. And so often the patients that I take care of, instead of being focused on healing and getting well, they are scared and worried and stressed because of the debt that they know they are incurring in the hospital at that very moment. And so it just shouldn't be that way. And until we move to a healthcare system that is really focused on care instead of profits, which I'm also deeply committed to working on, this work is important as well to give people a little bit of breathing room.
And let me just say, you were talking about the stories that you hear from people who, are concerned because they owe the hospital a debt and so they don't go in. That's just the ones you're hearing. There are people making decisions mm-hmm. every day saying, you know what, I'm going to put off that breast exam. I'm going to put off that, ultrasound because I've got fibroid tumors. I'm going to put off that colonoscopy because I have a debt and I need to pay that down because I don't want the hassle of going in there and not being able to pay and being embarrassed at the front desk or being denied treatment or, just hoping they don't pull up, my financial record before we go in there to take this test that may even save my life.
100%. And I hear that for patients as well. And you're right. That's exactly right. I have heard many, many stories from people. And if people know that I've been working on this, they are, you know, kind enough to share their stories with me. But you're exactly right. There are so many stories that we don't hear about are people who are delaying care or foregoing care completely. And it shouldn't be that way. It doesn't have to be that way.
And, you know, talk to me about the spousal transfer of debt. I remember when my mother-in-law died, my father-in-law was going through all the paperwork and he had to pay those bills. And I remember when Sean and I got married, you know, we took out additional life insurance policies an added payout just in case there was some medical debt. So, you know, this is having a ripple effect. You know, it's not just that, you know, thank God we're not going to have that debt transfer, but now you don't have to get the extra insurance. You don't have to worry about, you know, taking on the debt of a dead spouse. You already grieving. You don't want to grieve and be broke.
100%. And this, you know, affects people at such a difficult time in their life where they are already going through that grief and difficulties. And then, you know, to have this heaped on top of them, in addition to learn that now they are responsible for this medical debt, is just, it shouldn't be that way. And so, yeah, again, you know, Minnesota, we were one of the only states who were doing this, and medical debt was the only debt that was treated that way. And so it won't be anymore. You know, we heard stories of, just as you mentioned, sometimes couples who would get divorced solely because they didn't want that transfer to happen, or spouses who would have to go into bankruptcy because they had no other option. They just could not pay the debt that they had incurred that wasn't theirs, but from their spouse, that they ended up in poverty and bankruptcy. And so, it doesn't have to be that way. It shouldn't be that way. And as of October 1st, it won't be that way in Minnesota.
You know, I have to ask you, I remember when, you know, all the legislation was passed. Minnesota, you all work like day and night on both sides of the aisle, getting the free lunch legislation and so many other things passed so that Minnesota families could live, you know, better lives. Our children would be better taken care of. And Minnesota really became a model for the rest of the country about how politicians, regardless of whether you are Democrat or Republican or Green Party or Purple Party or the Marijuana Party or all points in between, can come together for the good of the people. Do you think this Debt Fairness Act is going to be something that other parts of the country look at Minnesota and say, you know what, we can model that?
I certainly hope so. And I will say, I have had conversations with folks, both, you know, legislators and advocates across the country who are interested in it and intrigued by it and are, you know, potentially looking at working to do similar things across the country. Because, I mean, you're exactly right. This is not just a Minnesota problem. Medical debt is the number one cause of bankruptcy for Americans. And so it is absolutely an issue across the country. And there are things that we can do about it. I'll say, you know, just to mention a couple of other things that are included is for patients who have an error on their bill. It doesn't allow that debt to go into collections until the error is figured out. So it's just like some common sense things that you think, gosh, of course I shouldn't have to pay.
Okay, I was going to say,
you know, care that I didn't get.
This it seems to me like this shouldn't even have to be legislated. You know, we shouldn't have to. Y'all ought to be working on some other stuff right now. Like you said, this is common sense practice, and, you know, just to be fair with the people who are already sick, already hurting, already going through a diagnosis of some kind. You know, I don't know how many times I've been laying up in an emergency room with my children and somebody comes in, you know, and says, oh, you know, hey, you know, this kid has did you want to pay that now? I'm like, my child can't even breathe on his own, man. Why are you being so insensitive and bothering me? But, you know, this legislation is really going to empower us. And I'm just thinking of all the parents like me who have special needs kids, have multiple health challenges that we have to try and overcome. And this, I just really wanted to get to you first thing today, because I have so many special needs parents like Charlotte and her daughter, who, you know, we've got a lot to overcome, and to get this information and to be empowered by it, it's really going to be a game changer.
I think so. You know, I too have a child with special needs, and I know, mm-hmm. you know, navigating that system is some, you know, feels like a full-time job sometimes. And so, you know, to have to inject some common sense and some fairness into that system really is going to change people's lives.
Okay, now, what else you got going on? Because you've always got something up, always working on something. What is next? What's happening with you? I need to get the scoop on Senator Liz. You've got new legislation coming up. How's the family doing? I just want to get personal right now. What's going on?
Yeah, family is good. You know, interim has been good, working, you know, to get bills in order for next session, knocking lots of doors, you know, looking up as the upcoming election, you know, comes up here.
Right.
And I am really excited to say that I am back in partnership with the AG's office and with Liz Ryer. We are going to continue the work on medical debt. We've got, you know, big things planned for next session. I can't give details away yet, but we are in active conversations and we have more work to do there.
And so what are some of the goals that you have for this upcoming session? You know, we are kind of in flux until, you know, this election happens. But I know, you know, session is going to be starting and, you know, the planning doesn't start when the session starts. You all are working around the clock, listening to constituents, looking at what is happening in the community and trying to figure out how we can legislate our way out of problems. You know, is there something that's bubbling up to the forefront that is going to be top of mind for you this session?
For sure. You know, over the interim, I've had many conversations with folks in my district and Minnesotans across the state. And next session will be a budget year. And so we will be studying mm-hmm. the budget for the state for the next 2 years. And, you know, in my view, a budget is a moral document. We spend money on what is important to us. And so it is important to me and my colleagues that we, you know, put together a budget that really reflects our values. And so I'm thinking about, you know, making sure that all kids in Minnesota can have access to a world-class education, and everyone in Minnesota can get the quality health care that they deserve, and that we are, you know, building communities that are just and inclusive and safe for everyone. And so there's a lot of work that goes into that. But really, in listening to Minnesotans, it, you know, it's our job to meet people's needs and meet them where they are. And, you know, I think about, you know, there's rising costs and making sure that we are, you know, we've been talking about medical debt, and that is one piece of the puzzle. But making sure that people can afford their lives, making sure that we are, you know, doing what we can to bring down healthcare costs and education costs and, you know, making sure that people have what they need to be safe and healthy and thrive. And so really that is my focus and what I'm thinking about. And it really is based on the conversations that I'm having with community members who are, you know, telling us what they need.
Well, I want to let you know, I appreciate you. I thank you for being on the show. It is always a pleasure to chat with you. And I want to make sure you go and get by Jersey Joe's when you get a chance in Rochester. Black owned business that was at Black Entrepreneurs Day at the Capitol, fell in love with you in the way that you just took your time. You were kind to them. You were a great listener and a great advocate for these business owners. And he is a devoted listener on this show, 187 16th Avenue Southwest in Rochester, Jersey Joe's. You will think you are in Philadelphia if you get one of his Philly cheesesteak sandwiches. Girl, my mouth is watering just thinking about it.
I love Jersey Joe's, and I am thrilled to chat with you today. Thank you so much for covering this topic and for inviting me.
All right. Now, look, when the session starts back up and you can reveal this thing that you're working on, come back by here so we can talk about it.
I would love to. Yes.
Okay. Sure. All right. It's a date. Thank you so much, Senator Liz, joining us courtesy of the John Schuster Caldwell Banker Hotline.